Blog Talk Radio.
Now move your attention eagerly into the area above your navel and envision the color yellow. This is the solar plexus chakra or Manipura, the place of the shining gem. This third energy center governs your ability to digest your life. When the fire of the solar plexus chakra is burning brightly, you feel empowered and confident in your ability to manifest your evolutionary intentions in the world. When blocked, this chakra creates feelings of frustration and hostility, along with digestive distress. The third chakra governs the liver, gallbladder, stomach and spleen, and relates to the sense of sight. Breathe in the color yellow and let go of your frustration, hostility and feelings of aggression, trusting that you have the personal power to fulfill your needs. Feel your internal fire transforming negative traits into life-supporting opportunities. Remember that evolution progresses through flexibility and least effort. The sound of the solar plexus chakra is Ram. 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 Silently repeat to yourself the mantra Ram.
Family, I want to welcome you this evening to Introduction to the Seven Chakras. As we move from the bottom up into all of our chakras, we will be learning about what they are and how they affect us. This is Monique Nubia Sunshine coming to you this Wednesday evening. And I hope you all prepared for the discussion this evening. It's really more about education and taking notes and exploring hereafter what and how you want to apply this in your own personal life. I want to say I work with the chakras on a daily basis, not only as a Reiki practitioner and someone that does meditation for others, but absolutely in working on the chakras for my own personal health and personal connection to the highest part of who I am. And many times, since I've gotten to a place where I've known the chakras very well through meditation and through Reiki, I can literally scan in my body just by bringing my hands over each chakra and taking deep breaths and feeling when the energy is different in each chakra. And it takes a while to get there to know. But also linking what is going on in your personal life or in your life in general to what is happening with your chakras. So it takes a bit of mindfulness. And I do want to read something about mindfulness before we start talking about the chakras, the third chakra, which is our solar plexus. Mindfulness is really a powerful meditation. Isn't just helpful just for just meditation. It has physical benefits to being able to be mindful. So I'm going to read a little something, and then I'm going to tell you about my experience with mindfulness. In fact, many doctors, psychologists, and healthcare facilities teach and employ mindfulness techniques because of their proven stress-reducing effects. Mindfulness techniques include mindfulness meditation, can significantly reduce the blood pressure as well as muscle tension and stressful feelings, including anxiety. Mindfulness can also improve your performance in all aspects of your life. If you are exercising, and that includes yoga, mindfulness can reduce the risk of injury because you will be so keenly aware of your body and how it feels as you move it. In your work, mindfulness can aid you in concentration, improving efficiency and quality of what you are doing. Your mind won't be wandering off to what you will do next or what you did before. Instead, you can experience the total absorption in your task through mindfulness. Why do I bring up mindfulness? Because mindfulness is a key element in learning how to read your chakras. It is easy to imagine that your chakras, what your chakras might be doing. You can guess and you can go based on what other people are saying. But through mindfulness, you can gain more of a clear perception of what is happening in your chakras. And through mindfulness techniques, you can learn to feel your chakras and assess their current qualities and even balance them, know how to balance them. So for me, mindfulness has been an awesome tool because I use it daily in being able to pay attention to what is going on in my life, being able to pay attention to what's going on, not just with my physical self, but and importantly, my physical self, knowing this pain, to pay attention to it, but not only that, the circumstances that surround my life, the little messages that I get from day-to-day things, messages that I get in my dreams, paying attention to that. And it sounds like a lot because there's so much that we don't pay attention to with ourselves. When we start focusing on mindfulness with just self, it lets you know that you've been neglecting a great deal of who you are. So it comes into alignment as we talk about our third chakra, which is called our solar plexus. In Sanskrit, it is called the Manipura. And it is another one of the chakras that is a part of our first three earth-based chakras. And why I say that is if you caught the first two shows, you know that your root chakra, which is your first chakra, is your rooted, your association to you here on this earth, your financial status, the status of who you are as a human being on this earth in relation to your roots, your tribe, and who you are. And your sacral chakra, which is your second chakra, is your sense of creativity, your emotional self, your sexuality and how you view sex, your intimate relationships, and more particularly relationships from parent to child and child to parent. So with the solar plexus being the next sort of chakra of the most intimate relationship you will ever have in your entire life, and that intimate relationship is with you. So I want you to ask yourself, do I have a close, personal, intimate relationship with myself? Do I know myself completely? Do I know myself so much so that I can almost manifest everything that it is that I want in my life? And so when we talk about the solar plexus, it is the center of our personal strength, our learning and comprehension. It guides us through life by creating a strong sense of self, setting personal boundaries, and building self-esteem and willpower. The ability to bring change into your life is also born with this chakra. So this chakra is associated with the color yellow, and it is located between the navel and the base of the sternum, which is that little, that like little bone that goes up into your in the center of your body, where it goes up into your rib cage. It's that area between there. And so the solar plexus is affiliated with the element of fire. So where you have the root chakra is earth, the sacral chakra is water, emotion, and the third chakra is fire, that fire in the pit of your belly, that fire that drives you, that inspiration that moves you. So in this particular show, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the root chakra, I'm sorry, the solar plexus chakra, which is also called your power chakra and your solar plexus, and it's the core of who you are. And what we'll do is we're going to talk about what it does without your help, what your power chakra represents for your body, your mind, and your spirit, and how you can tune into your power chakra and how you can correct blockages and overloads. And as with each chakra that we've explained, typically when one is blocked, those earth chakras, typically you have other issues in the rest of them. So when the power chakra or when your solar plexus is strong and open, you project a confident and reliable, trustworthy persona to the world. You exude warmth and friendliness, and you're open, and you and find others irresistible. At its best, the third chakra projects your sense of humor, your personal charisma, your personality, really. It's really about your personality. However, without a grounded first chakra and an emotional balanced second chakra, the third chakra can become like harsh, like a gunshot to the stomach and subjecting others to its power. So if it is blocked, you can lose your sense of self. You can lose your confidence. You can lose your ability to get anything accomplished. In other words, balancing this chakra matters in a lot of terms of your ability to function in this world. This is the chakra where depression resides as well when it is blocked. So, and then being that person who procrastinates, doesn't get things done, is unable to finish projects. Many of us might begin one thing and then our mind moves on to something else and we don't complete things. This is the sign of a blocked power chakra or solar plexus. So the third chakra is our Manipura again. And it is translated into the word of dwelling place, the jewel. And sometimes I say that gold, that fire, that center, that core of you. This is all about you. And so because it is associated with the fire element and it is in contrast to the grounded earthiness and the watery, flowy, watery, emotional of the second chakra, it is where the body's heat and energy resides, where you have your own inner sun. So the third chakra is symbolic of the color yellow because of that. And so the sounds that is typically radiated from doing a solar plexus meditation would be rung, and that was mentioned earlier. So when you do a chant, you want to go rung when you do a chant. And I did a video on that explaining it. So I'm going to talk about just acceptance of self. Understanding and accepting who you are is a lifelong process. The third chakra can help you more swiftly and effectively in this direction. A strong sense of self allows you to be able to get things done. And if you notice, people who are very confident and people very strong in belief of self tend to be go-getters and tend to get things done, get things accomplished. And when you have a strong view of yourself, it helps you to be able to exercise your personal power and being able to build a life, a better life for yourself. But it also, having a strong power chakra has a reputation of being selfish. So some people who have this confidence may be looked upon as selfish or self-centered or arrogant. And so it can be viewed by people in a different way than how you view it, where you may see someone who has an extreme amount of confidence and you may think it's arrogance, but to them they have a very strong power chakra, depending on how much of that confidence comes out, because when you have an overload is when that arrogance comes out. So the associated places of the body where the solar plexus affects would be your stomach and your digestive organs, just as well as your first and second chakras, your upper intestines, the middle of your back, your liver, your pancreas, your gallbladder, and all your muscles of your body. So typically if someone is having, say for instance, someone who is an alcoholic, someone who is an emotional drinker, for one, is someone who has an issue with their second chakra, but eventually what happens is, and they emotionally drink for many years, and it affects the body, and typically I've seen in some cases people developing cirrhosis of the liver, which is, the liver is a third chakra organ. So now your emotional drinking has become your solar plexus issue, where now your liver is affected and your liver is suffering because now your liver can't get rid of those toxins that are coming from the emotional drinking. And so definitely something to look at, because all of those chakras work together as one. As you lose energy in one chakra, it definitely begins to affect the other chakras. And I've learned that the past couple of years with my mom being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, emotionally eating and eating things that aren't right, eventually developed into things that affected the body's process of being able to get rid of toxins or inability to get rid of toxins. So, and I'll go into that a little later. The associated psychological effects and life issues associated to blocked or just with your third chakra in general are your personal power. This is where your ego resides, your sense of self, your self-esteem, your willpower, and your ability to get things done, as I mentioned before. The physical issues that are related to a third chakra blockage, and for those who are really taking notes on this, please listen to this and take notes on this, because it may be something that will help you. Sluggishness, low energy, low appetite, chronic fatigue, poor digestion, diabetes, gallbladder problems, feeling cold, stiff muscles, poor liver function, bad posture, and weak middle of your back. Okay, very important to take those down, especially I know many people are dealing with diabetes, and diabetes is from diet, which is poor diet, and it could also be from eating the wrong things, and with the blood, with the liver not being able to function the way it needs in order to produce those chemicals in your body that will assist you in having a healthy, just having healthy organs and organ function. Psychological issues related to a third chakra blockage would be low self-esteem, lack of willpower, inability to accomplish or follow through with things, unreliability, not being reliable. That is major. Victim mentality, always feeling like the victim. Well, why me? Why does this happen to me all the time? I don't understand. Blaming others for your problems. So that's a disassociation of connecting yourself to the situation, and that also teeters on that root chakra, not being rooted and taking responsibility for who you are on this earth. And feelings of not having a personality, not standing out, feeling insecure, basically. And so with those blockages, it's very difficult because a lot of times we don't really associate those issues with a chakra if we knew anything about it. You know, we thought it was this is just who I am. This is the person that I am. And so I'm going to talk to you about self-esteem because this is really the part of the chakra where if this is blocked, this will be affected. The third chakra is not only a reflection of our sense of self, but also the opinion that we feel about ourselves. In other words, here lies in your self-esteem. How do you feel about yourself? And I want you to write that question down if you're journaling. How do you feel about yourself? That's one of the questions you want to ask, and you want to ask it in total honesty. I can tell you maybe 8 years ago, I was not feeling happy with myself. And it showed in a lot of things. A lot of people would ask me or wouldn't even think like right now that back a while back that I had self-esteem issues. Self-esteem issues keep you from being able to speak up, you know, and keep you from being able to be noticed. Because sometimes we want to slip back into a little corner and just let things be the way they are. You know, when you're a younger person, I remember being young and being shy and being afraid to speak, and I used to be very soft-spoken and didn't speak out loud because I didn't want to draw attention to me. You know, especially if you're a child that came from a time where you was bullied or you was teased, and I was bullied and I was teased in elementary school, so I didn't want to draw any attention to myself. So what I did was I hid within myself, and I liked it that way. I liked it where I didn't have to speak up loud. And so when the opportunity came for me to be called upon to speak out loud, you know, that low self-esteem kicked in, and I just didn't want to do it. And it follows you as an adult, you know, and it also affects your fifth chakra, because if you are someone who is shy or someone who is not outspoken because of fear and that self-esteem, you're not going to be open to having a conversation or to say anything that's on your mind. So now you're denying yourself of your own personal truth, which is your fifth chakra. So you can see how where these chakras kind of affect one another. When one chakra is unbalanced, another might be overloaded. And where one may be unbalanced, there may be several that are unbalanced. So it definitely works to the benefit of the whole entire body. But a healthy third chakra reflects a healthy appreciation of self. Too much energy in there, and you may project narcissism. And we'll talk about the overload, because narcissism is one of the symptoms or one of the causes of an overloaded chakra, third chakra. But not enough energy, you may dislike yourself. You may feel shamed about who you are. And you may not even like or believe that you have a personality, okay? And so another situation with a blocked third chakra would be control issues, because in addition to you having no identity or thing. Okay, I'm sorry about that, guys. We got disconnected, or I got disconnected. If I get disconnected again, please stay on the line. And we'll continue to go through. I thought I rectified the problem with my phone service, but I guess not. So please stay on the line if we get disconnected. Again, I was talking about control issues. And so when you have a blocked third chakra, the amount of control that you exert over your own behavior definitely is affected. So if you have control issues with not being able to express yourself, and that's like what I said before, is not being able to come out and say what you mean or say what you feel, it directly is related to not having enough power in your power center, not feeling powerful or not feeling that you have enough confidence in yourself to express what it is that you need to express. But if you feel compelled to control everyone and everything in your life, and if you feel comfortable, you feel uncomfortable when you are out of control, then it's something that you need to look at about having difficulties in balancing those chakras. So sometimes in the third chakra, you might have moments where you feel completely powerful and you're charged, and then you have other moments where certain other situations make you feel powerless. Like I can tell you as a mother, being a mother of grown children, and especially grown children who are on their own and doing their own thing, you want to involve yourself in assisting them. And sometimes it's hard for us to allow our children to empower themselves to live their own lives. And especially when you see something that you know is not right or not happening the way it should happen, and you could see your child potentially go through something horrible, and you kind of want to stop it. And many times as parents, we want to come in and we want to assume the power that we had with our children, and not giving them the opportunity to utilize individual power. And many times it's not done on purpose. A lot of times it's done because that's the protection, that's that root chakra protecting the family. That is that emotional part that wants to protect their child and their family. You know, but at the same time, we have to be able to allow our children to utilize that power center. Otherwise, they become very dependent and they don't get the opportunity to develop it well, to know when they can use their power. So many times we have to be able to allow them to utilize that and allow us to sit back. And even though we may feel powerless, you know, we're giving them an opportunity to use their power. With the blocked third chakra, you also can have willpower issues. Now, I know many people who are trying to stick to a diet, keeping and maintaining a diet, it is very difficult to try to have that will power. So if you can't stick to your diet and you keep procrastinating, you can't finish your projects, your third chakra reflects your willpower and your ability to follow through with your commitments. And that includes commitments to relationships as well. It is definitely a third chakra issue. When you have a strong sense of self and power, you can finish what you started, and you can do it the way you intended. You can say it the way you want to. If you aren't confident with your ability to make things happen, you're less likely to have the will to be able to access your power. Okay? So willpower is the ability, or having a strong willpower is the ability to be able to have access to your power, be willing to have access your power. Okay. It is not surprising that those who suffer or struggle with obesity express that they have no willpower. When it comes to a vicious cycle because of the excess weight lowers. So the excess weight also, as we talked about last week in our sacral chakra, it being that center of where you deal with weight issues, where you deal with body image, body issues and things like that. So when you have an issue with overeating from emotional, as I mentioned before, you can also develop a low self-esteem because of your appearance, because of this overeating. So it all works together. The third chakra is about being proactive. It is about being strong and healthy. And the third chakra reflects the ability to make things happen and get things done. The third chakra is the chakra of action. It is enacting change in the world. So if you want change to happen, you have to start with your solar plexus. keeping in mind that the other chakras are affected, but your solar plexus is where you get that fire. And that's why I said that fire is there. And that's why that chakra is related to that fire element. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the lines and I'm going to ask questions or ask if anyone has any comments or anything that they want to share about the solar plexus. So I'm going to open up caller with the last four digits of 8062. Welcome.
Yes, good evening. Yes.
Peace.
Can you hear me? Peace.
Yes, hear you. How
yes,
are you?
This is beautiful, Dana. Thank you.
Hey, beautiful. You are always my first caller.
Yes, I gotta be first with everything. Let me take it and put it on speaker.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, better.
All right.
Okay, so I was listening to the emotional eating portion. Oopsie, you got me. Yeah. Okay. I guess I monitor myself when I emotional eat, and I know when it's happening, and I want chocolates. I want fresh wine, and then you talk about liver function issues.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm serious. And
as
I work with my serious. Yeah, as I work with my acupuncturist, she's working on my liver, and she's been doing that, and I've been having tightness in my lower mid back. So that's really on point. All I can do is continue to, you know, do the mantras that you specify and the positive reinforcement to myself in the mirror and do the stretch the morning stretch, kinetic yoga, sun salutation.
Yes. And yes. Definitely doing those chakra meditations are important. One thing I did a video on Body Beautiful. And it's really taking an assessment of your body and looking at your body. Because your solar plexus, because it is about who you are, is the center of your self-esteem. And a lot of times what I notice is that when we get up in the morning, we go through our daily routine, we don't look in the mirror. We'll glance at ourselves and see what we look like. But are we really looking? Are we really, really looking at that center of ourselves? You know, so what I did was I actually did a challenge for people to do a body assessment and keep a body journal. I think it's so important to keep a body journal to take down all the things that is happening with your body, from the little hiccups to the little bump that you might find on your shoulder or something, a mole that wasn't there last week or something. Okay. Taking a full assessment of your body and paying attention to it, and also paying attention to the things that we put in our body. And this goes a part of what the mindfulness is about, being so deeply involved in this intimate relationship that you are having with yourself that you can actually look at yourself and you can feel when something isn't right and what you have to work on. You'll get to that point when you start being mindful of your body and what we take in.
Okay.
So I think that's a very important tool that we have to start doing. We have to start making ourselves just as important as we make our jobs, just as important as we make our relationships. We have to really make ourselves the centerpiece of everything that makes that thing go around. Because really, to look at it as a whole, your solar plexus is your universe. And everything else has to rotate around your universe. Otherwise, it's not going to work. If your universe shuts down, then where are you?
Right.
You're not here. You know,
right.
So we absolutely have to make ourselves the focal point in total mindfulness. Total mindfulness. You got people that say, I do love myself. I do my, on the surface, yeah, you might take care of all that stuff on the inside. But if there's things that's going on the inside of the body and the outside of the body is looking good, what is that truly saying? What is that truly saying? You know, and that goes for me too. You know, when I'm going through something physically and I'm getting ill and I neglected something, you know, and our bodies are not going to operate 100% perfect while we're here on this earth, but enough so that we know that something is wrong. You know, sometimes many of us don't even know what's wrong with us. You know, we don't have a clue. But we know what we eat. We know what we like. We know what our habits are. We know how much sleep we get. We know what kind of conversations we indulge in. We know what kind of people we connect to. We know these things. So how you don't know what's wrong with you?
Very important.
You know, so something absolutely to think about. But thank you so much for calling, Sister Bane. You get me sparked up. All right. Have a good evening, love.
All right. Peace.
All right. Peace. Okay. And so I'm going to take another caller with the last four digits of 7503. Welcome. Hello. Uh-oh. Did I lose them? Yes, I did. They hung up. Maybe they didn't want to talk. Okay. I'll take the caller with the last four digits of 3206. Welcome. Hello, 3206.
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening. Who's calling?
This is Naya.
Hello, Miss Naya. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad you're with me this evening.
Yes, I'm learning a lot.
All right. Do you have any questions or anything you want to share?
I am just listening. I'm taking notes I'm just learning.
Okay, absolutely. There's more to come. So I'm going to put you back on the listening end, and I will go on further. It was good to hear from you. I'm so glad you made it.
Thank you. Thank you. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Okay, and I'm going to take the next caller with the last four digits of 4339. Welcome.
Hey, what's up? Eja,
hey,
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Eja, how are you?
I am doing just wonderful. Thank you. Thanks partially to you.
Oh,
right.
I can't be responsible for that. You tuned in, right?
So I think I don't have a question, but at this moment, but I want to tell your people that you're awesome and everything you told me to do, everything worked out like almost immediately. Like I got this stupid great job and everything. And like the next day, so everything's good. You're awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Well, you had a lot to do with that, that's for sure. And opening up that part of yourself just enabled that door to open. So you did the magic, you know. And
yes.
I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Sure did.
All right. Well, all right. So I'm going to open up the next caller with the last four digits of 1723. Welcome. 1723.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I wasn't quite sure how things worked. I was actually invited on the call by a friend, and I appreciate the information that you're sharing. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello? Okay, because I have done some self-study as it relates to the chakras. I try to do some work with the crystals, and I have not, I don't know, I haven't had the best success with that. I haven't, I don't know, I guess I'm kind of doubtful. Maybe that has something to do with it, but do you as far as the crystal relating specifically to, because we're talking about the solar plexus, correct?
Yes. What crystals are you currently using?
Currently, I'm not using any at the moment. This is encouraging me to pick them back up. But initially, when I went out and purchased some, I got an amethyst. And then I come to the conclusion based on my studies that I was having an issue with, and forgive me because I can't recall the name of this particular chakra, but the one that's related to the throat.
Okay, the fifth chakra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so there was mm-hmm. a blue crystal that I purchased, and
right.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't notice anything, or you know, but again, I was a little bit doubtful. I must say. So.
Okay. So how were you using the crystals? Were you using them in meditation, or were you just carrying them around with you?
I was just carrying them.
Okay. And when you purchased the crystals, did you charge them, or did you just buy them and then carry them?
Well, let's see here. I caught myself cleansing them. I don't know I did what I learned to do to cleanse them, but I don't know when you say charge them exactly what you mean.
Okay. Charging them is typically when you buy the crystals, what you do is you cleanse them. And typically how I cleanse them, everybody does them differently, but I either cleanse them by letting them sit in sage oil overnight for those crystals that can do that, because you do have some crystals that are not that may have issues with oils or water. You have some that are not water soluble, so you have to be careful with that. And you do have to ask your crystal dealer what the properties are of whatever particular crystals that you have. And typically what I do is I let them sit overnight, and that might be extreme for some people, but I like to buy my crystals in the store because I get to feel them, and I can actually feel them speak to me. So when I do touch them and they get warm, I know that one is for me. Or if I actually can feel the vibration of it, I know it's for me. And typically what I do is I take it home, I put them in the sage oil, and in the morning what I do is I let them stay overnight. And in the morning what I do is I wipe them down and I sit them on a tray in the windowsill or outside directly in the sun. And the sage cleanses them, and then the sun charges them. And then what you want to do is when you get a crystal, you want to put your manifestations in that crystal. You want to give that crystal the responsibility of doing what it is that it is supposed to do for you. So if it is to charge you, if it is to assist you in working with your solar plexus, then you want to be able to say to that crystal, or you want to give an affirmation saying, I am going to be working in my power. This crystal is going to be able to generate my power center so that I have confidence and that I have the self-esteem, the high self-esteem I need in order to accomplish and finish all the tasks that I need to do today. And so it shall be. And it will be in that crystal, and it will walk with you, and it will work with you. Okay? And so what I did was, if you're connected to the event page, for the chakras, I put a list of solar plexus chakra stones and crystals there. I'm also going to tell you amber is excellent. Citrine is awesome. I have citrine forever. Citrine is abundance, abundance, abundance. Those are topaz, sunstone, and yellow calcite is another one that's awesome. You also want to carry tiger's eye. Tiger's eye is very important because tiger's eye is good for the solar plexus, but it is also great for the root chakra. It will ground you. It will work with both chakras. And topaz. Topaz is also perfect. But there is a complete list that I have that I'm going to read off before the end of the show for anybody who wants to take notes and can't get contact to that page and they want to go out and purchase these stones. But you absolutely want to charge your stones. You don't have to cleanse them the way I do them. Some you can cleanse with water, purified water. You can just wash them off. You can also use burn sage around them and let the smoke just, you know, go around your crystals. But you always want to charge your crystals so that they work for you, because cleansing is just not enough sometimes, for especially if you want these crystals to do work. If you want these crystals to be your imprint, do what you needed to do. You want to charge them to manifest what it is that you want to do. So sometimes just carrying them may not be enough. Sometimes maybe holding them and taking deep breaths and visualizing what it is that you want to achieve with that crystal, and sometimes holding that crystal on your solar plexus and doing breathing mm-hmm. techniques will further charge your solar plexus as well.
Okay. Thank you very
helpful?
Much. That's very helpful. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I wish you the best, love. No problem.
Thank you.
And I'm going to open always. I'm going to open up the next caller with the last four digits of 0256. Welcome. 0256. Hello. Okay, maybe they want to listen. So I'm going to put them back on listening. And I just want to make an announcement to those who are just listening or want to listen to the show. Press 1 to take yourself out of the caller queue, and I won't have to open up the lines and question you if you don't feel comfortable on speaking. If you do want to speak, then continue to stay in queue. And any time that you press 1, you'll either hear that your call is now in queue or your call is now you are out of the caller's queue. So listen out for those things. So if you want to ask questions, you can definitely do that. And if you don't, then you press 1 to come out of that. And if we get disconnected again, please stay on the line. I will continue to make sure that we continue with the show. Okay. The next caller with the last four digits of 7503, welcome. 7503. Oh, they hung up. I guess they didn't want to talk. Okay, so I'm going to go back to our education on the solar plexus. And now I want to talk about the psychological issues that are related, or the physical issues, rather, that are related to a third chakra overload. An overload is when you have too much energy, where your chakra is completely open and you have a lot of excessive energy going into that chakra that is just throwing you off balance. So the physical issues related to third chakra overloading is hypertension, thus the word hyper meaning over, stress, ulcers, muscle spasms, insomnia due to excess energy, not being able to wind down, exercise addiction, constant hunger, and physical signs related to extreme stress, exhaustion, okay? And the psychological, the mental issues that are affiliated with your overloaded third chakra, anger issues, control issues, obsession and obsession with power, outward signs of power such as money and possessions, that's one I'm really going to talk about, the inability to compromise with others or work well with others, excessive competition, arrogance, lack of sensitivity, and narcissism. Now, I'm going to read something about narcissism that many people probably are familiar with, just in knowing other people or just knowing in general. Narcissism is a psychological term referring to a personality disorder characterized by excessive self-importance and the need for constant attention. Now, the constant admiration will be to an extent that the person is narcissistic, is not able to feel love or empathy for others. And the word comes from the Greek myth of Narcissus, and it's one who fell in love with his own reflection and died of unrequited love. So being narcissistic is just being so totally self-absorbed that you avoid it of anybody else's feelings. It's like you're in your own world. You're in your own little world. And so it becomes a problem. Like when I'm driving to work in the morning, I kind of get frustrated by drivers who don't use their signals. And it pisses me off because it's like, you know what, you about to come into my lane and you couldn't even tell me you was coming into my lane and I'm about to speed up. What if I smacked into you? You know, and to me,
I look at it as a person who thinks they're in the world all by themselves. You're not in this. You're not on this planet by yourself. That there aren't other people that are affected by what you about to get, what you're getting ready to do, and you can't put a signal. So to me, I think that's something, and it might be the littlest tiny thing, but to me, I think that's narcissistic behavior where you feel that you don't need to make anybody know or allow anybody know what your intentions are, but you're going to jump in this lane now. If I hit your car, you're intended on pulling over and jumping out and cussing me out. So my thing is that kind of thing is just a tiny bit example of what I think is narcissistic, especially if a person does it on a regular basis. If they continue to do it and they don't care, then it is definitely a major problem. If it's something where, oh, damn, I forgot to hit the signal, you know, then that's a different thing. But it really irks me when people do that, because I always look at it as these people must think they're on a planet by themselves. You know, they're doing things that nobody else exists because the world revolves around them. And that's where that term kind of comes from. But also with just having an overloaded chakra, third chakra, talking about these issues that are dealing with stress, having very high stress and physical problems that go along with that. So hypertension is definitely something that is affiliated with it, especially when you're dealing with stress. And if you notice, if you know people who are on blood pressure medication to bring their blood pressure down, it teeters on the stress level and the food intake. But a lot of times people do obtain hypertension because of the anxiety that they feel, you know, and ulcers as well. Ulcers are definitely something that you want to look into, balancing and changing your diet, but balancing that third chakra so that you don't have continuous issues with that. But chronic fatigue is typical with people who have blocked third chakras and overloaded. So it's like some people are really can go from one end to the other. So when you do have a block, you could teeter on both of those things. Most people with overloaded third chakras also have a tendency to overuse pain medications and sedatives and, you know, just in the effort of calming themselves down. I remember there was a time where I used to do hot yoga, and I got so obsessed with hot yoga, I wanted to do a 30-day challenge. Now, I got obsessed with it because I loved the way it made me feel. I loved the way it removed toxins out of my body. I began to love the way my body looked. And I became a little narcissistic with it because I was like the one who had to sit in the front of the class, in front of the mirror, and look at myself do all these yoga poses. Now, from someone who went from having a low self-esteem to someone who was really enjoying looking how the changes of my body was happening due to improving my health, it started to become a little crazy. And I got to a point where when I was doing the yoga classes, they had this thing called the 30-day challenge. And the 30-day challenge was you go every day for 30 days and you do this hour and a half hot yoga in 110 degrees room, doing all these 26 poses, learning how to breathe, learning how to concentrate on your body, being in total mindfulness, looking at your body, and loving every bit of the health benefits that it brings. And I was in love with it. I loved the changes and everything. It made my skin clear. I had lost 30 pounds within a month. I mean, it was my whole diet and my whole mindset changed, and I became obsessed with it. And so it got to the point where the 30th day started to come, and halfway through it, I started to feel like, oh, my God, I can't do this. But then when I got through that third week hump, because it's like a third week hump, you get in and you're like, okay, I got over that. Now I can finish it out. And so I got into that last 2 days, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to just keep going. I'm going to go into 60 days, you know. And so I kept going. And sometimes I would go two times in one day. I started to become so obsessed with it, because it was just making so many dramatic changes, and it felt good. And I had so much energy, I couldn't stop myself. I couldn't sit my ass down. I couldn't calm down. And so a lot of times at night I had to force myself to go to bed. I'd be sitting up till 3 in the morning like, damn, I got to go to work in the morning. I think I should lay down. And even though my body was like, no, you still got things to do, I had to force myself to lay down. So it is, it's something that, that can go from being blocked to having an overload if we're not monitoring it properly and we're not in mindfulness. At that time, I had no clue about what was going on with my chakras. I wasn't even paying attention to it. But it was something that I had to learn over time. It was like, why can't I wind down? Why is it that I can't slow down? And I have all this energy that I feel like I need to do something. I need to burn this energy. So it is something that we do have to pay attention to, you know. And so also with people who are working with overloaded chakra, because I had mentioned the whole thing about the pain medications and sedatives, when you become addicted to those things, not only is it due because of a overloaded chakra, but it's also your second chakra, which is the seat of your addiction. So it's also something to look at when you having those issues being connected to medication in that way and not being able to stop yourself. So it's hard work carrying that around, and it also affects your ego as well, you know. But I'm going to read something about stress relief and, well, actually overloaded lifestyle issues, okay? An overloaded third chakra, people can come across not only as arrogant, but also plain mean. And I know you know plenty of people who are just evil, especially people who are particularly sensitive, and that is when someone is overly sensitive, that is an overload in your second chakra. So someone who has an overload in their second chakra will definitely start having issues in protecting themselves and having an overloaded solar plexus, which is your third chakra. And people can't just understand why other people do things that get in their way. So they get frustrated very easily. And when the world doesn't oblige them or doesn't give them what they want, they become snappy, aggressive, and even violent. And if you've ever seen an adult throw a temper tantrum, you know for sure that it is an overloaded third chakra. So, and I've seen plenty of people throw temper tantrums, grown-ass people having a hissy fit, and their third chakra is out of control. An overloaded third chakra, people tend to be very successful, and are good at acquiring all the things that you need for success and power. But they are also prone to losing it because of their negative behavior, because of their arrogance, and because they're unable to balance that third chakra. So getting it in balance is really what we want to do. So when you have an overloaded power chakra or a third chakra, you want to do deep relaxation techniques such as meditation. There is a meditation that I used to do called Savasana, which is just laying down on the floor, on your back, taking deep breaths, and just allowing yourself to sink into the floor and take deep breaths. It also says that you need to engage in non-competitive activities. I always tell people, do puzzles, something that sparks the mind, that makes you think, that takes you out of a place of being competitive. I can't see anybody being competitive about putting a puzzle together unless they're like, I can put this puzzle together faster than you can, you know, and then that's really crazy because the puzzle is really I think it's a game of required thinking. And especially now that we're all on the internet and we're doing so many different things, most of us that have our social media pages and things like that, our ego is a huge part of our solar plexus. So our Facebook pages and our Instagram pages are our ego-driven diaries. These are tools that we get to exaggerate about ourselves on, or we get to highlight frustrations, or we get to, it's like a social media journal of sorts. And a lot of times you see a lot of people's ego pop through there. Sometimes the ego might come out, or the alter ego might come out, you know, and that is definitely working on having an overloaded or overactive solar plexus. So I'm going to give you some questions to think about and that you can write down in your journal or whatever you're writing the information in, and you can start to ask yourself these questions about what's happening in your third chakra. So the first question you should ask yourself is, are you worried about the actions of someone else? And these are typically questions that I ask my clients when I notice that they have a block. If they're feeling self-esteem issues, the first questions that I usually ask them are you worried about the actions of someone else? Okay. The next question, are you worried about what someone, especially someone close to you, thinks about you? And if you say, I don't care what people think about me, really do you? Really do you? Now really do you? Let's really be honest about that. Because many of us will say that in defense of, and many of us will say it to combat the fact that deep down inside, we really do. We really, really do. And in as much as we say, no, I truly don't care. Yeah, you do at the end of the day. You do care what your kids think about you. You do care what your mate thinks about you. You do care what your parents think about you. You really do. Okay? And so do you feel inferior? Do you feel inferior? And on the flip side of that, do you feel that you are better than others? And I mean that in a competitive way. Do you feel that you are better than others? Okay. Are you hiding your true feelings behind excessive sarcasm? And that's a good one. I know plenty of brothers, and I'm calling them out, not by name, they know who they are, who like to hide behind humor to avoid dealing with self and dealing with issues pertaining to self. And how I mean that, for an example, if you are dealing with someone and you're dealing with someone that you're just getting to know and y'all getting to learn each other and you're talking and you're getting to know one another's past and you're getting all excited because you're like, oh, I'm learning about him, he's learning about me. And say you ask those questions like, you know, so, what was your past situation? You know, why are you single? Most people say, well, why are you single? Why are you interested in me? What makes you single now? And you have the person that likes to tell jokes, like, you know, making laughter, making that story funny, or making it to the point where they don't seriously answer the question. And I notice that men are very great at deflecting questions in that manner. Something that you want to look at deeply. Why is this person covering up behind the sarcasm? What is truly going on with this person that they don't want to answer certain questions about? Because more times than anything, it's not so much that they're trying to, and in some cases they may be trying to hide things from you, but in other cases they may be trying not to face something that they don't want to face about themselves. So there's a good and easy way to deflect it, because the fears, there is fear that causes that excessive sarcasm or that excessive joking around, not being serious. It's something behind that. There's some hurt behind that. There's some issues behind that. Okay, next question. Are you notably being pessimistic? Are you one of those people that's always doubting everybody and what everybody else has to say? Or just someone who is just really goes against the grain? And sometimes purposely to get on other people's nerves. So are you notably pessimistic? Are you worried about the future or despair over something? So is there something that you worry about consistently? Because worrying is also a third chakra blockage. Okay. Are you lacking courage? encourage in a sense, I would say you doing something on the job. Say you're doing somebody else's job on the job, and you have a supervisor that expects you to do this responsibility, but this is not part of your job position. Do you have the courage to sit down with that person and say, listen, you know, this is not what I'm supposed to do. Can you explain to me why I'm doing this so I could get a better understanding, or is there something else that we can work out so I could just do what I need to do and we can get someone else to do this thing? You know, like just having the courage to speak up for yourself, having the courage to speak up, and not just when you're dealing with your people. You know, I can speak my mind when I'm around my people, but can you speak your mind when you're on the job? Can you speak your mind when you're having to deal with positions of authority that have authority over you? So that also works with your third chakra. Are you facing something which you are afraid of? And I think everybody can answer this question as a no. There is always something that we are not facing, some fear that we are not facing that is preventing us to operate on our highest level. It's always something. I might not be afraid to say what I need to say to that person that I'm dealing with, but I might have a fear of getting seriously involved with that person because of some hurt that I had in the past, you know. Or I might not be afraid to open up about myself with all the women I do in my sister circle, but I might not be as open, or I might have more fear to do that with someone that might be interested in me for the fear that you know, of rejection. They may see me in a different light. You know, so that kind of fear. Are you feeling overly emotional? And overly emotional, again, goes to that second chakra, but it can also affect your third chakra in depression. Because, you see, depression operates in that solar plexus. It's how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself, how you love yourself, how you focus on you. And I say that because I tell you a story about this third chakra and how I noticed when I became a Reiki practitioner. As I was becoming a Reiki practitioner, my mom was battling pancreatic cancer. And I know my family probably hates my guts right now because I always refer back to my mom, and they always talk about, oh, you don't need to be putting family business out there, but you know what, damn that, this is some real. And my mom lived on this earth as an example to all of us, not only in the loving woman that she was or is, the beautiful spirit and the generous woman that she has always been. And I believe that her purpose was to change the world, even though she's no longer residing in this world. She is still changing the world because she is changing me. And she is helping me to be able to share that change with others so that they can find the change in them. So when I have family members that say business, hell damn with them. And I tell them to kiss my whole entire rear end. And I say that with love. Because there's a greater purpose and a greater message that needs to be said based on our experiences. And so with that, I tell you, as I was embarking on my journey of becoming a Reiki practitioner, my mom became ill with pancreatic cancer that we knew of, because it was to my understanding that it was there for a very long time. And it was amazing because we didn't see the signs of the depression that accompanied the true time that the diagnosis happened, which was not to our knowledge. And it was my understanding that the diagnosis came long before we actually knew about it, but the depression was there first that we knew of. And there was a time where my mom had called me back in 2011 and told me that she wanted to commit suicide. And it threw me off my axis, because I was like, excuse me? I've never heard that come out of her mouth. For a woman who has been a teacher for many years, in the school systems, but not only a teacher in the school system, just a teacher in life, and the love that she had and her giving was just tremendous. And so when she told me that, it just, I was just like, oh, my God, why? You know, didn't understand. And that part of theme and the depression was all in her solar plexus. She didn't feel good about herself. She didn't feel good about where she was in life. She didn't feel good, even though she was doing so many beautiful things for other people, she didn't feel good about herself. And this is what we do sometimes as women and sometimes as parents. We put ourselves out there and we do everything for everyone else and we forget ourselves. Our solar plexus shrinks and almost disappears. And so what became affected physically on her, which made me really started to understand as a Reiki practitioner how energy works, is she had poor appetite. And it wasn't low appetite. It was actually excessive into things that she wasn't supposed to eat. But she had issues with digestion, poor issues. And then she had issues with her lower back. And we didn't know why she was having all these problems. So because she had issues with her lower back and she had other issues that she needed pain meds for, she became very connected to her medication. And this is all solar plexus now. So when she finally became jaundiced one day, didn't know why she became jaundiced, nobody knew. She was rushed to the hospital, and they found a tumor in her pancreas, which was cutting off some chemicals that are supposed to go into her liver, which started to produce symptoms of jaundice. So she became her liver began to fail, basically. Which the liver is the solar plexus, the pancreas is solar plexus, the tumor and the cancer that she created from her depression originated because the solar plexus was ill, was blocked. All these things are related to our bodies, people. Our bodies will tell us when something isn't right. And something as mere as energy does affect it. So as she began to do treatment, she was already far beyond in her depression. Then she felt optimistic in using what the doctor wanted her to use because the doctor had made her feel good by giving her medication that took away her pain. So naturally now we're going to be self-reliant on the catalyst of masking these issues. And this is why these Reiki practitioners and healers are so important in the likes of energy, because when you deal with people who are dealing with chronic issues and life-threatening issues such as cancer, such as heart disease and things like that, they are not only working in concert with your doctor, because what they're doing is they're actually working with you on an energetic, homeopathic, more natural way in collaboration with the diagnosis that you're getting from the doctor. So when my mother told me depression, when she told me jaundice, when she told me liver, when she told me pancreas, I said solar plexus. I had to understand that. And I only knew this, like I said, because I was becoming a Reiki practitioner. And you have to know the chakras. And so I had to relate not only her physical issues, but her psychological issues was telling me something was wrong. And this is how we can get a read on our bodies. This is how we can get a read on what's happening with us as we start to connect the dots in mindfulness, as I mentioned, mindfulness, paying attention to ourselves and everything that happens in our world, in and around us, because we are an aura of energy. And there's things that connect to this magnetic force that we got around us that will spark us into awakening. And if you don't pay attention to, if you don't use mindfulness, you will miss it. And the only time that you will get an opportunity to see it is if you're ill and you're sick and you have no choice but to observe you now. And this is what happened. She had no choice but to observe herself. And by the time that she did, her solar plexus had no energy, no light, no spark. It was gone. And when I watched her in the nursing homes and in the hospital, her solar plexus being gone, and I did a Reiki session over her, and I felt no energy in that solar plexus. But what began to happen was she had a stroke, lost her ability to walk, so now her root chakra is losing energy. And she had no control over her bowels, so now her sacral chakra is going. So now I get a vision of this woman that I'm now learning that energy is in these certain places where there's no light in the root chakra, there's no light in the solar plexus, there's no light in the sacral chakra. All her earthly chakras have no energy. She's dying. This is what happens to us when we don't pay attention to ourselves. This is what happens to us when we don't take a moment and breathe life back into us. This is what happens when we don't go in that sun. And like we charge our crystals, we charge our bodies from stress, from wear and tear, from imbalance, from not eating properly, from not those foods not charging our mind to think properly, to make ourselves an importance in our own universe, in our own existence. We have to make ourselves as important as we make our children, as important as we make our job, as important as we make it with our mates, if not the most important. See, when you have, and I use this symbolically, I don't embrace Christmas, but here we have this beautiful Christmas tree, all decorated with all these lights and different colors, and it's pretty, and it's like all the lights are going off. And then at the top, what do? We put this star right up at the top. We're like, yo, that star is banging. That is a nice tree, okay? That star is you. That star is you. You are the tree of life. That star on top is you. This is how we have to look at ourselves. We are the top of that tree of life. Our solar plexus is the center of ourselves and our power. What do you do to empower yourself? Write that question down. What do I do to empower myself? How do I get my power back when I feel like it's gone? When someone disrespects me, how do I get my power back? Do I disrespect them back? Is that the way I get my power back? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. You dishonor yourself when you lower yourself and you let them take that power from you. You've given your power away when someone wants to challenge you. Now it's a battle of egos. This ego wants to overpower this ego. This ego wants to take over this ego. And here the egos are going back and forth. And what's happening with the body? The body is getting exhausted. The body's like, what the hell? And that's what happens. You get so exhausted that it stresses you out. So what do you do to give power back to your power center? You take a powerful minute to yourself. You take a powerful 10 minutes to yourself. And you be selfish and you tune everybody out just for that time. And you give back to yourself. Well, we can create an environment of sickness in our own bodies. This is how we can create tumors in our own bodies. We do it. We are the creator of those things. We are the creator in what we eat, because there are foods out there that assist us in our depression. there are foods out there that assist us in destroying the body. There are foods out there that assist us in fogging the mind, therefore we're not mindful. There are situations and conversations that you have that are not productive for you as an individual that takes from your power center. There's so many things that take from your power center that we interact on a daily basis that we're not even mindful of it. We have no idea. We have no clue. And it's unfortunate. I'm going to open up the line and see if anybody has any questions, because I'm going to start to wrap it up real soon. I'm going to talk about all the different herbs and what you can do to get that power back. So I am going to open up the line with the last four digits of 9654. Oh, my gosh. Wait. Let me see if they're still there. Okay. 9654. Welcome.
Hello, how you doing? I was just calling in to say that I'm enjoying and loving the show, sister. I had to call in to show my support.
Thank you, Nasir. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So you don't have no questions then, huh?
No, I was sitting here just learning, just picking up on everything you were talking about, and that's true. When you said when things happen, if a person do something bad to us or something bad to us happen and we react and being bad too, that's the lower, our lower self.
Mm-hmm.
We're at our lower self when we let things get us to the point to where we want to create harm to somebody else or put somebody else through what we're going through, because we know we don't like going through it. So why would we, even like you said, even if somebody did something to you, why would we want to put them through the same thing that we're feeling? You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here and I'm loving the show, sister.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So I'm going to go to the next caller. And peace and blessings. Have a good night, bro.
Peace.
All right. Caller with the last four digits. Let me see if I haven't called. I'm going to try to call on a number that I haven't called on. And last four digits of 9304. Welcome. Hello. Welcome. Okay. Maybe they just want to listen, so I'm going to put them back in queue. And I'm going to call on the last four digits of, oh, my gosh, so many numbers are popping in queue. Let me just see if I can grab a hold of everybody, as many people as I can. Let's see. Let me try 7503. Welcome. 7503. Okay. Let me make sure I'm still on the line. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go back to just talking about all the different things that you can do to unblock a blocked solar plexus. So you definitely want to be in a place where you can get that energy back into that area, build up your self-esteem, and enable yourself to just get that power back. It says to increase the energy in your third chakra, you want to do aerobic exercises. You want to kind of build up your endurance. You want to do things like Pilates, martial arts. You want to get into things that are on the physical level in awakening your power chakra or your solar plexus. And so when we talk about working with the solar plexus and actually removing some blockages, it takes a lot of dedication in being able to identify it first. And again, as I mentioned, just being able to know what's going on in your physical self and going on in your psychological self. But to unblock your third chakra, you want to think about heating your body and strengthening your core. So a lot of core exercises are really good. You run until you sweat, and that's where the hot yoga works for me. I was able to take the hot yoga where I sweat out toxins from the body, getting my power center just activated. And so you definitely want to do that. You also want to sit in a sauna or somewhere where you can generate some steam or you can get rid of some of that, those toxins in the body as well. Because the liver is a place that is supposed to filter out the toxins in your body, if you find yourself having difficulty removing a lot of toxins, you do want to do saunas in places where it's really hot because it will cause you to sweat. Sweating is absolutely naturally healthy because people think that, oh, you know, I sweat too much and that's a problem. No, that's a good thing. That means your body is working properly. That means your air conditioning system of your body is actually working. You know, I've known a couple of Caucasian girls on the job talked about getting injections to stop themselves from sweating. Or what kind of stinking mess are they going to be on the internal if they don't get rid of some of those toxins? So, but that's their issue. Okay. Eating yellow foods, especially spicy foods, foods that also cause you to perspire a little bit and that will help you be able to unblock. And you want to do a lot of spicy, strong flavor foods, like things that have ginger in it, things that have cinnamon. Turmeric is great, great, great. I drink turmeric tea almost every single day. Foods with curry in it. You want to do your bell peppers, your yellow bell peppers. You want to do your citrus fruits and things like that, and bananas and stuff like that. You want to work with those. You also want to engage in positive self-talk. Affirmations are huge, and I do a whole video talking about affirmations. Looking at yourself, centering yourself, and this is part of that whole body beautiful assessment. When you're doing a body beautiful assessment, you look at everything. You scan, you do a mirror gazing where you scan yourself from head to toe, looking at every part of your body, talking about your hair, talking about your forehead, talking about your eyes and your eyebrows, and talking about your nose and everything you scan, everything that you, what you see. And basically what I talked about in the body beautiful is write down the things that you absolutely love from head to toe. And then write down the things you absolutely don't love from head to toe. And then you say to yourself, well, how can I improve those things, or how can I better those things that I absolutely don't like about myself? How can I make those things better? And you take an assessment. And what you do on a daily basis, you coach yourself and you talk to yourself about how you're going to better those things. And you make it a goal and you challenge yourself on a daily basis. You know, I don't like the way my stomach might bulge out when I wear certain things. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to change about it? You don't like it, what are you going to do to change that? So empower yourself. You know, get in front of that mirror and say some affirmations. I am strong, and I'm going to get in that gym today, and I'm going to work it out. And throw in some theme music. If you've got some music that you like, a song that says you all over, and you throw in your theme music in the morning, and you say your affirmations, and you dance, and you rock out the door every single day. Do this for yourself. This is therapy for yourself. And you don't want to go in somebody else's chair and tell your business, then you tell your business to yourself in your mirror, and you do it that way. And that's how you start to begin to charge up that power center. And so you also want to use oils and incenses that you can use for aromatherapy. And you can use things like rosemary, peppermint, and ginger. And you want to be able to just be comfortable in your own skin and be calm. Be calm and be relaxed. So having those other essences, I'm going to just give you more essences because that's not the only one. You also want black pepper, which is really good for balancing your solar plexus, cedar wood, cinnamon, clove, coriander, geranium, and I mentioned ginger, grapefruit, juniper oil is great, 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 great. That is awesome. I use that. Lemongrass, another awesome one. Mandarin, peppermint, as I mentioned. Rosemary is the bomb. Rosemary is good for your root chakra, your sacral chakra, and your solar plexus. It is the bomb. Sandalwood, awesome, awesome sandalwood. Definitely got to get that. Spearmint, and again, Lang Lang. And Lang Lang is also good for the root chakra and the sacral chakra as well. So, again, the symptoms for an imbalance in a blocked chakra would be, third chakra would be your low self-esteem. And on the overload would be arrogant and egotistical behavior. Feelings of being abandoned or rejected. Okay, the feeling, and then on the opposite end, feelings that the world revolves around you, self-centered and selfishness. Nervousness is another symptom of a blocked third chakra, and difficulty understanding or controlling your emotions, which could lead into depression. On the flip side of the overload would be rebelliousness or too eager to please, overextending yourself to get praise. Okay, that's the ego. Nervousness and being stressed out is on the blockage end. And addictive behaviors, including eating disorders. And that is also, like I said, a sacral chakra issue as well. Okay, so when you are feeling good about yourself, you are comfortable in your own skin. You have your own inner peace. You are confidence without the. You have confidence without the arrogance. You are patient and you are flexible, and that's how you know that you have a balanced chakra. Okay, a balanced third chakra. So I hope this show has been very helpful to many. I'm going to open up the lines one last time to see if anyone has any comments or anything that they want to share briefly, and then I'm going to conclude the show. So I'm going to call, open the line of 8062. I know this is my sister, Bayina. Do you have any comments or anything you want to add? Maybe she's just listening. Okay. Let's see. Who else? Caller with the last four digits, 9034. Hello? 9034?
Hello?
Yes. Do you have any questions or any comments that you want to make before we end the show? I'm just going back through the calls and see if anybody wants to add anything or if they have any questions.
Oh, no. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open up the next caller of, let's see, 3206. Do you have any questions or anything you want to add?
Hello?
Yes. I'll just open up the lines to see if anyone has any last remarks or anything that they want to add.
Yes, I would like to know, is it the book that you're reading, what is the title of it? What is the name?
The name of the book, and it's a really simple book, and I'm reading actually from different sources. I actually have some studies that I did on my own. But you can go to Barnes & Noble and get the Complete Idiot's Guide to Chakras.
Okay.
Yes. That's what it's called. It's called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Chakras. You can get that. That helps you. There's a couple of other books that because they have Chakras for Dummies, and they have all these other books. And then what it does is just basically breaks it down to you in the most simplest form. I have different sources because when I was becoming a Reiki practitioner, I actually went and took a class and took seminars on the chakras, which I think is very extra. It was just a little extra. But, you know, when you become a for me, when you become a Reiki practitioner, I think it's very important for you to get optimal amount of knowledge. So I went to the extra, and I just took classes, and I took notes, and I did a lot of other things. So, but you can absolutely go to Barnes & Noble, and you're on New Age section, And mm-hmm. or you can go to Amazon.com and you can go and get these books online, but they will really help you understand and break it down.
All right. Thank you very much, sister.
No problem. No problem. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
And I'm going to open up call over the last four digits, 4339. Do you have any questions or any comments you want to add?
Yes, I do actually have a question for you. My
All right.
Yeah, it's Isha again. You got me. But yeah, I was gonna ask you. I got this this new job, and as far as like, I don't know if I'm like you explaining like the egotisticalness of of this third chakra, right? Yeah, they pretty much hired me as like that guy, like, you know, like I'm the boss or whatever, and I know, you know, but they have to, you know, this is like my first week, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm feeling like, you know, like these people that are working for me are very unknowledgeable, and I kind of like really want to just jump in there and bust them out and tell them how idiotic they are, but I don't know if that, like, is that, like, a good thing to do, or should I just, like, chill, because day three, you know what I'm saying, but I'm already seeing some, you know, and that's not just the bad thing, I already knew going in how they were, but the people, well, one person really acts like he, you know, knows everything, and he's trying, I guess, really hard to impress me or whatever, and it's, like, working opposite. And I'm wondering if I should just bust him out or how that would affect me or I don't know, day three, what do you think?
I think what you should do is feel him out a little bit. I do think that because I know it's a new job and it's a position where you're an authority, so some of that ego comes in and some of that power comes in. So you kind of want to fine-tune it and make sure that it's not on a personal level and is more delegated to the job itself. Like, if they're really some things that are happening that's affecting the quality of the work or the position that the person is supposed to be doing, then maybe rather than busting them out, maybe bring them to the side and say, you know, I'm just getting to know you. You know, have them tell you a little bit about themselves, especially if you're in a position of authority and if you have the liberty to do that, to try to feel that person out because it could be nervous energy that they have because you're someone of authority. You know what I mean? Sometimes people, when they're working under somebody who has authority, they got this nervous energy, and sometimes things don't come out right. Sometimes they say stuff that be like that you be like, what? You know what I mean? And you want to check them, you know? And so you want to try to get a feel for them to see, you know, what kind of person that you have. Is this person someone who's going to be directly reporting to you? Is this someone you're going to have to do evaluations on and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And I was just wondering, is that like my ego wanting to come out? Like, I don't know. Is at the same
time?
Yeah,
you're definitely in a power position. Yeah, you're definitely in a power position. You're in a position of power, so of course, you know, you're gonna wanna throw that around a little bit, and not to be mean and malicious, but just because it feels good. Yeah, you know, when I was a supervisor, that felt good too. It felt good to be able to tell people what to do. But then at the same time, if they start fucking up, well, guess what? Who's going to get the brunt of that? The supervisor. So you kind of want to make sure that the people who are reporting to you are team players. You know, they're on your team to make your team win. And so if you come at them sideways, then they could either do something to sabotage the team. You understand what I'm saying? Or they could do things in order to build the team. So you want to be able to treat them like they're a team player and still let them know at the end of the day that you are the supervisor. You understand? Almost like mentoring someone, taking them under your wing and getting to know them and getting to understand them because of the position that you play, you have the potential that if, say, that person no longer works for you, you have to assess the next person that's going to fill that position. So with that being said, you have to get to know people. You have to get to know the personalities. You got to get to know how they operate because you got to be an observer, especially when you're doing evaluations on this individual. You want to come from a basis of where you actually know how this person is. So it's definitely, you're definitely in a power position. You just gotta not let the excitement of being in power take control over the actual job and being impartial to learning people. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do, yep. And I think I'm going to try that. You know, I'm going to keep doing it like that, I guess. That's a good help. Thanks a lot. You're awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish you the best. I'm so happy for you. You don't know how excited I am.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
All right. So, I'm going to wrap it up, and I want to thank everybody that has called. I want to thank just the energy, and I'm so glad that I'm able to do this with the chakras. We're going to come back next week where we're going to talk about the heart chakra. It's going to be a beautiful show. It's going to be just talking about that center that is connecting our earth chakras with our heart chakra and connecting to our higher self. So I hope you all are able to join me. And again, I thank you so much for joining me this evening. Have a good evening and namaste.
Ah, ha, 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 ha